Praise the Lord. There are a lot of cares. And the idea of a care is something that can distract you. Mm-hmm. Something distracting. Something that becomes demanding of your attention. Yeah.
Come on.
And something that creates anxiety. Something that can stress. Those are things that we're all having to deal with and from various angles. One thing I would like you to know this morning is that, you know, sometimes you may think that others around you are not sensitive to what you're going through. And it may be true, but it may be because they don't even know what you're going through.
Yeah, that's right.
And sometimes when we're in that place, we forget because our battle is so intense and our situation is so difficult that we don't recognize that someone else on the chair beside us, that their battle is just as intense as ours.
Yeah.
And while you may condemn someone for not being sensitive to you, you might ask yourself, how sensitive are you being to someone else?
Come on. That's right.
That's the thing. When you want everything to come at you, you're forgetting that your job is to reach out to others. And there are a lot of cares. I have never seen such a bombardment of cares. But I want you to know this morning, there is somebody who is sensitive to where you're at. And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And he knows where each one of us are this morning.
Right.
Hallelujah. So we're going to dig some more. I feel that's where we're going to go. Luke 22. Amen. Luke 22 this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me just, because we're dealing with this, verse 26 and 27. We'll just read those two this morning. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. He that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth as meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Glory to God.
Mm.
Woo, praise the Lord. My. Can you say amen to God's word? You may be seated this morning. Well, in connection with this passage of dealing with obstacles to Pentecost, dealing with this obstacle of self-promotion, we've been talking about humility in connection with this because that's something that the apostles have to learn. That's something that they have to get a hold of. And it is this idea of humility and service, because those things will go hand in hand. And I'm going to go back at that and take a little bit of time. And I just want to stab at it a little bit again here this morning and seek to try to bring that perspective home to you. Because the Lord has told us here, and you'll notice the phraseology that he uses is, I'm among you as he that serveth. Let the older, let him be as the younger. And he talks about he that's great, let him be as the servant. He didn't necessarily say let him be the servant. He said, let him be as the servant. Jesus says, I'm among you as one that serves. Jesus did not forfeit his authority in order to demonstrate humility. Jesus did not forfeit his position in order to demonstrate service. He did not become a doormat to the apostles. He did not become under or subject himself to the authority of the apostles in order to be an example of service and humility. Amen. So let him be as he that serveth. So we're not talking about a change of positions. We're not talking about making everybody doormats. We're not talking about shoving everybody's head under a pew or under a chair or under a rock. We're not talking about making everybody as if they were nobodies and treating them as a piece of meat or a pile of dirt. That's not the idea here. What we are talking about is
is having a mindset. We are talking about having a perspective of things so that in our position, knowing who we are, knowing what our responsibilities are, knowing what is going on around us and what God wants, that we have a perspective that God has, and that we can see things as He sees them, and that we are here to serve. We are not here for to be applauded. We are not here for the personal glory of men. We are not here to exalt ourselves. We are here to exalt God Almighty. And we have to be keeping perspective of who we are. And had Christ come and not served us and not died for us, had He not demonstrated humility among us, where would we be today? Pride helps nobody. Pride serves only self. It is humility that serves others and reaches out to help those that are around them, because pride only considers self while humility considers others. Amen. So we're going to talk a little bit about that here this morning. I mentioned to you last Wednesday night that humility is a mindset. It is not so much some strength or inner fortitude. It is not something that comes as by something that can be injected in you. It's not something that you can even some sense of ability or power. It's not a special gift that comes from God. It is that which comes as a result of seeing things from a certain way and understanding them. Now, you can be humiliated. There are things that can be done on the outside to humble a person, but you can humble a man externally and never touch the heart internally. You can humble him from the outside while his inside remains proud and arrogant. Understand that. So there is a sense which God will talk about. He will bring down the proud. He is going to bring down those that exalt themselves. They will be humbled in the sense from an external perspective. Maybe a greater word is that they will be humiliated. But in that sense, the humbling is so that they can see things as they really are. Sometimes God has to knock us off of our pedestal because He wants us to see we don't belong on a pedestal. And when we're on that pedestal, we get the wrong perspective. And the humbling or the bringing down of a person is so that they can see things as they really are. That you're not great. You're not mighty. You're not all powerful. You're not all wise. You're not all knowing. You're not the center of attention. You're not the center of the wheel. You're not the hub of the church. You're not the hub of the home. You're not the one that God is here to bring and exalt in some great way. You didn't die for mankind. You can't change yourself no more than a leopard can change their spots. You have no ability to produce life. You have no ability to change a soul. You have no ability to deliver a man from his bondage. You don't even have any ability to get yourself moving or give your own self the air that you depend on. And God sometimes has to put us in a place so that we can see who we really are and how little we really have. This idea is a mindset. Scriptures to talk about it. Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. We'll talk about meekness probably Wednesday night. But this idea of humbleness of mind, that's not three words in the Greek. It's only one word. But it is a combination of two Greek words. And so when the English translators translated it, they translated it by two English words, though it was a compound word in the Greek. And it is putting together this idea of how a man sees something, so that he sees it and that he puts on a perspective or a humbleness in his thought. Vincent says it is the virtue that is based upon a correct estimate of our actions actual littleness. Thayer says it's having a humble opinion of oneself. So it is humility to see how small you really are. Humbleness of mind. Philippians talks about in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. When do we typically get in trouble? When do we have problem with our fellow man? We oftentimes, because something happens I know there can be offenses, but also a lot of times there is a greed or a covetousness that can take place, and we don't see that others are worthy of the same thing that we're worthy of in terms of respect. But from your perspective, when you esteem others better than yourself, you'll minister to their hurt before you minister to your own. You'll minister to their situation before you minister to your own, because you see that they are worthy of your time, or that you esteem them to be worthy. Sometimes they're not worthy. Sometimes there are folks, I'm telling you, which of us were worthy of the time Jesus has put into us? Which of us can say, I deserve Calvary and I deserve that God should die? I cannot say it. It would be a lie of the greatest proportion. But I tell you this, He counted us. Oh, that He loved us. Whenever we did not esteem Him good, we esteemed Him stricken and smitten of God. We looked at Jesus and said, He's worthy of what He's getting. But He wasn't worthy. We were worthy of what He was getting. We were worthy of the cross, but He gave us a crown. So there is this business of esteeming others, because that's what lowliness of mind does. It considers others before it considers self. But our problem comes when we consider self before we consider others. That's the reverse. On Calvary, He considered you. He considered your salvation more important than the pain that He felt in His body. He considered your redemption of greater value than the suffering and the shame that He faced on that cross. The Bible said that He looked to the glory that was before Him. The Bible said that He did not. He could despise the shame. He despised the shame. And He looked to the joy that was set before Him. He despised the shame. Despise means to consider it of no value. In other words, He's been mocked. He is naked. He is shamed. He is despicable. He is like a criminal. He is treated as a sinner. He is treated as the worst kind of sinner. His body is racked with pain that no man can imagine. It isn't just physical. His soul is carrying the weight of the sins of humanity. His heart is breaking. He is separated from the Father. He is surrounded by darkness. He has been plunged into a situation that no man has ever faced. And yet I'm telling you, He doesn't look at the shame. He doesn't value the shame. What He values is the redemption that will come as a result of His crucifixion. But what we value is our hurt. What we value is our reputation being harmed. What we value is that other folks aren't valuing us, and we place a high value on that. Oh, Brother Woods, I don't place a high value. Yeah, you do, because you think about it all the time.
Come on.
It dominates your thoughts.
Yeah.
It dominates your actions. Your emotions are getting you carried away, and they're taking you down that road. Why? Because that's where you're focused, and that's where your mind is going. But if you'll shift your mind from thinking about your pain and begin to think about the glory of God, He looked for the joy that was set before. Imagine the joy. Imagine the joy the Father is going to have when the sons can come home, when the lamb has been slain, and when the blood has been shed. Imagine the joy when I give myself and others can be delivered. He didn't focus on the pain. He focused on the redemption that would be brought to humanity and mankind. Serve the Lord with humility of mind. How we view ourselves, how small we are,
Listen to the psalmist. He said it so well. Psalm 39, verse 4 through 5. He said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Woo, that's not a real good measure, is it? He said, Lord, I want you to make me to know my end. I want you, Lord, to cause me to see where my life is going to finish. You know that vigor that you started with. You know that power that you began with in your youth. You know all of that drive that you had in your young days. Guess what? It's going to fade away. Do you know all that beauty that you had, young lady, in your youth? Let me tell you something. The wrinkles are going to come. The spots are going to come. The marks are going to come. The children are going to change your body. The beauty is going to fade. The strength is going to fade. Naked I came into this world, and naked I will leave it. I came into this world with nothing, and it is sure I can take nothing with me. Let me know the measure of my days so I can see how frail I am. I want to see how frail I am. Woo, glory to God. And he says, and then he sort of answers it. Oh Lord, my days are like a handbreadth. That's a handbreadth. That ain't much, is it? Whew. That's a handbreadth. You can, in other words, basically you can cover it with your hand. Woo, glory. That ain't very much at all. Let me say it another way. You can hold your days in some sense in your hand. Measure them. And he said, you've made him as a handbreadth, just a short span. He said, my age is nothing before thee. I mean, if you live to be 100, tell me something. What is 100 years to an eternal God? What's 100 years? Oh, we talk about things that have happened in the last 100 years. We talk about what's happened in the last centuries. We talk about what's happened in the last millennium. We look at 6,000 years of the history of man. But I can tell you, I know one that before there was ever an earth, before there was ever a heaven created, before there was ever an angel, before there was ever Lucifer, before there was ever air and oxygen that man would need to live on, before there was ever a particle of matter, before matter ever existed, the eternal spirit of God was there. Take your measly 100 years and hold it up to the eternal God. The Bible said he inhabits eternity. He sits there. Time makes no measure on him. You cannot place a number to the life and to the being of God. You can number me. My days can be numbered. You can put a quotient on my intelligence. You can measure my body. You can measure my weight. You can measure my knowledge. You can measure my days. You can measure my years. But God doesn't have a ruler. There's no ruler you can put up beside him. You can't put some kind of yardstick beside the being of God and put any measure to him. He said, every man, that includes me, includes you, every man, put him in his best state. Give him his highest moment. Bring him at the climax of his life, the epitome, the climax of his health. He's on top of the world. He's got all of his abilities, his knowledge. Give it all. It's vanity. Isaiah 40 talks about John the Baptist. Talks about him going forth to cry. There's a voice that's crying in the wilderness. He talks about him, that passage
The cry that we typically read in the Gospels is that cry that the Lord is coming, and every mountain shall be brought down and every valley shall be filled in. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Make your path straight. Make the way straight. Get the rocks out. Bring the mountains down. Fill the valleys in and make it level. Make it plain so that every eye can see the salvation of the Lord. But there was more that that voice cried. He went on to say a little bit later in chapter 40 of Isaiah, he said, "What shall I cry?" And the voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Oh, hallelujah. Oh, have your court cases. Make your court decisions. Try to wipe out every bit of religion and Christianity from the earth. But I will tell you, sir, you are nothing but a blade of grass. You are nothing but a piece of wheat that is hanging in the field, and the Spirit of God will blow, and your decisions will be gone. Your memory will be moved from the earth, but the Word of God that you have sought to get rid of will still be around. It'll still be standing. It is eternal, and it will not fall.
Glory, glory, glory.
How can I tell it? How can I say it? I can't bring you. Tell me where you are at. Don't tell me, but just for a moment, think with me. Where are you right now? I know you're in this building. That's not what I'm talking about. Where are you? What are your personal challenges right now? What's the condition of your home? What are the burdens you've been carrying? What are the offenses that you have right now? How's the relationship between you and your spouse? What is the condition of your spirituality? How long has it been since you felt the glory of God flood your soul? How well are you enjoying prayer? How are you doing in your job? What's the condition of your finances? How is your health? What pains has your body been experiencing? How tired are you? How about your children? Do they honor you, or are they blasphemers of God? None of that is, I'm just asking, where are you? What is your situation? What is your home? When you come to church, what's bombarding you? What stresses and strains have been placed on you that I know nothing about? Likewise, you know nothing of mine. What is the burden and the weight of it that you carry? What lost soul is troubling you? What lost loved one has brought stress and strain into your life? What ignorance that surrounds you that you are troubling with? Who has harmed you and brought hurt into your spirit and into your soul? How about how lonely have you felt? How distressed and sad have you been? Have you felt that nobody understands you? Have you felt that you're in a rut and can't get out? Have you felt that you're in a valley and you can find no way of escape? Have you felt that you have no ladder out of the pit that you are in? It seems as if the sun hasn't shined for days. You pray and the heavens are brass. You call upon God and your life, you cannot stop because life keeps demanding. Life is demanding more of you, and you've got no more to give. Life is asking something of you, and you've got no answer for it. Your situations are saying, "Get up," and you've got no strength to get up. You find your creditors are asking for more, and you've got nothing to give. I'm just here to tell you something. The answer is not self-exaltation. The answer is not to promote yourself. The answer is not to look to a man for your salvation. The answer is to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt Just hang right there for a moment. 1 Peter 5. Yeah. That's where he says it. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Is that what he says? Find it, young man. 1 Peter chapter 5. Go down there and get to it. He talks about all of us being subject one to another. Yea, of you be clothed with humility. Yea, be subject one to another, he said. Is that what he said? And then he goes on to say, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Is that what it said?
Yes.
Read it to me.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you.
There it is. He tells all of these. He said, be subject one to another. But you say, okay, Brother Woods, that's great. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Woo, glory to God. Oh, get yourself someplace. Here, our temptation is to listen to the devil and to begin to puff ourselves up and begin to think nobody understands me. Begin to point the finger at the wife. Begin to point the finger at the church. Begin to point the finger at yourself until you feel so bad at yourself and you condemn yourself and you condemn the world and you get in a state of depression where nobody, it seems, that can ever pull you out. But what you're doing is taking yourself out from under the umbrella of the mighty hand. Oh my. But what he said to do is crawl down and get down under that mighty hand. Get down under that hand of salvation. Get down under that hand of deliverance. Get under that hand of authority. Get down under that arm that is not shortened. Get down under the hand that is still outstretched unto you. Get under that hand and yield to the authority of the only hand that can make your needs to be.
Glory, glory, glory.
Don't look to another hand to pick you up.
Amen.
Don't look to the hand of your husband to pick you up.
Oh.
Don't look to the hand of the preacher to pick you up.
Oh.
Don't look to the hand of the wife to pick you up.
Right.
Don't look to the hand of the brother to pick you up. Get yourself under that hand. Oh, in whose life you are but a handbreadth. Your life is but a span of years. But in the hand of God, he said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. No man can pluck you. The hand cannot lift you up until you get under it. The hand cannot protect you until you get under it. Until you say, I yield to your authority.
Right.
Until you say, I yield to your sovereignty.
Right.
And there's one thing I know. You know me, and you know me better than anybody else.
Yeah.
And I can't control my circumstances.
Right.
I can't control my surroundings. But I ain't worried about it. Your hand can control it. Your hand has got it all. There he is, an umbrella. There he is, an umbrella. Rain. My problems are falling like rain. Then get under the hand of God Almighty and he'll shield you Shut up.